Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. And we're reading through the Bible. This is 2 Samuel chapter 22, and there are 51 verses. We have a couple of letters, and part 10 of accepting or receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And one thing I'd like to say today in regard to receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us of the different things in His Word of how we are to conduct ourselves. And I was just mentioning a few seconds ago, about we can no longer be the silent majority, because we've seen the atrocities of this Terri Schiavo, where people are, the judicial system in the country now is starving people and dehydrating them to death right before our very eyes. And we saw pictures of her on television where she was smiling at her parents, and where her eyes would brighten up, and she would even laugh at some of the jokes or the things that her father would remind her of that they did when she was a little child. And people are silently sitting by watching the judicial system commit such atrocities. And we have to be outspoken. Now, the reason that people, I believe, the reason that people have gotten to the stage where their hearts are so hardened that they don't really care what happens to anybody until it happens to themselves. So the Lord states that in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul and others, that the Lord says that we're to be very courageous and bold, and to fight the good fight of faith. We can't remain silent. All right, we can't use carnal weapons. We don't use guns, bullets, bombs, tanks, or knives, or anything like that. But we do have the Word of God, which is sharper than any, more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we have to speak out. And the reason a lot of people don't is because they are watching too much of this television, where there's so much violence and sex and every kind of filthy thing on the face of this earth in these motion pictures that they have. And so the Bible tells us that we're to concentrate on Him. And in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 8, it tells us what we are to, how we are to conduct our lives, and what we're to keep our minds on. We have to keep our minds pure and holy. Yeah, the only way that we can do this is to get our minds, our eyes, on focus with the Lord, and just keep them away from the filth and corruption that's in the world, because whatever we see and listen to is going to be inside of us. It just happens to be that way. That's why the Lord tells us, take heed what you hear. So let's read chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 8, to show you how or what you're supposed to be thinking.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true.
Whatsoever, only the truth. The judicial system says, well, we have to be concerned about the mercy, and we just put everybody to death that is suffering. But the Lord tells us to, the truth is, what Jesus says, for us to pray for those that are sick and afflicted. Amen?
Amen?
So you have to get your mind off of the warped, satanic thinking of the judicial system and also the world. Because the world thinks, you know, if you're not an asset to society, that you never will be, and that there's nothing beyond pulling the plug on people. And even they say, well, the person wanted you to, you still are not. That is not the truth. The truth is that you must pray for them so that they don't have pain and suffering. Because there is something, there is life beyond the death of our body. That's why it's not, it doesn't hurt to die if you don't take your own life, or if you don't have somebody take your life for you. But there's a second death that happens to a person that doesn't keep their minds on that which is true, lovely, pure, clean, all these different things. So, because life goes on eternally, and that's why it's so important for people being concerned about their family. Because when there's the death of a loved one, if you treated them as the Lord tells you how to treat them, and you take care of them as the Lord tells you to take care of them, well, then you're going to see them again in eternity in the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we have to prepare our sons and daughters and the people that we love around us, and also condition the entire world to receive the true things of the Lord, and not absorb any of the worldly, satanic things that the judicial system and the government and the cult and all the cults that are affiliated with Rome are teaching, and the media. The media needs to be reformed, but will they? And if they don't, you have to get your mind off of them, because the media, the Bible says, is Satan's mouth. Now, what else could be Satan's mouth? Satan is the one that is espousing all the evil that's going on today, and that's the media, is filtering into your minds, your hearts, your spirits, your soul, all the different junk, satanic doctrine that Rome is telling it to say. And the Pope is the boss, and that's why the media is just exalting him to the stars and preparing you to start believing and worshiping the new Pope. And as I've said for years, can't you plainly see that there's the media, the government is not supposed to exalt any religion? That's in the U.S. Constitution. Because when that happens, we have the European school of thought here, as it was in Rome, and as it was in all these ignorant Hispanic or Latino countries, because this is where the majority of Catholics are, is in Italy, France, Mexico, Central and South America. All your Latin-speaking countries. And they're totally deceived, because a lot of them are ignorant people that they're not even well-educated, and some of them can't even read. So they look at the things on television, and they just worship and idolize that which they see, and that's what they hear. And the reason for that is that nobody has the boldness. They're part of this massive silent majority that they never go and tell. They never tell the people the truth. And that's why the Lord honors the people that do tell the truth, because that's all the people in the world are supposed to hear. So start reading that again, and this will tell you that this is all we're to be concerned with. Finally, brethren,
whatsoever things are true.
Whatsoever things are true. That's what we're to be dwelling on only. Then what else?
Whatsoever things are honest.
Which are honest. Is this an honest? If it's not true and honest. I mean, if there's a liar, that's the exact opposite of honest. Okay, and it's the exact opposite of true. So those kind of people cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. If you're a liar and if you're not honest. It doesn't make any difference what they look like, or who they, what the deal is with them, one way or the other, or how they, you may judge them, but if they're true and honest, this is wonderful. Then you can associate with people like that. But if they're liars, then they're like, they are Satan. There's no cutting it any different ways. The world looks at it that way. But the Lord says, no, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, then what?
Whatsoever things are just.
Is this just to put people, according to the Word of God, to put, starve people to death and dehydrate people to death? And to let a judge determine whether, or the President of the United States, the secular government, or the Pope, decide what should happen to you? The Lord has set us free. and then for them to tell you that you can't say the word God or pray, is that just and honest and true?
Mm.
No, so you have to get your mind off of that. You can't receive anything of the world. And if you do, you're taking the mark of the beast. Okay, then what?
Whatsoever things are pure.
Pure. Is this judicial system pure?
No.
Or the government?
No.
Or the media?
No.
Are they honest?
No.
Are they true and pure?
No.
No. So we can't pretend. So you might as well get your mind off of it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? So mention those three again. Honest, pure, what?
Just.
Just. Justice. Is there justice in the judicial system, or does there need to be some a lot of reform there to get adjusted to the Word of God?
Amen.
You're not to be any respecter of persons, amen?
Amen.
But if you're a black person, you go to court, it's going to be, you know, and the judge isn't black. And maybe he's a Ku Klux Klan member, because a lot of law enforcement are Ku Klux Klan. They're liable to not judge according to justice, but they're liable to have some prejudice involved in their rulings. Amen?
Amen.
Or if you're in with a Catholic judge, they're liable to, if you're Jewish, to send you away and throw away the key. Amen?
Amen.
Send you to prison and throw away the key. So a lot of people say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, you're not reading the honor, the truth, the honesty, the justness, the purity of the Word of God, then, because right there, if you can see all this injustice and impurity and dishonesty in this world and you don't know what to pray for, then there's something terribly wrong with you. You are the world. You're part of the world. Then what?
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Lovely. Is that lovely to watch somebody starving to death and being hydrated to death? This is what the Lord says that we're to keep our mind on. That isn't lovely, is it?
No.
To see somebody before your eyes, babies and men and women by the thousands that are being starved to death and dehydrated, and just because of the fact that they're very sick and they're not really a lot of them in their right mind, and a lot of them don't know the Word of God, they just say, well, yeah, I'd rather go home. Or you go to heaven. They think that's going to be their home. But anyone that's asked for someone to kill them, that's suicide. And anyone that murders or destroys the body of that which God wants to live in cannot be honest and true and lovely and pure or just. Amen?
Amen.
Read that last one.
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Yeah. They're not lovely. They're ugly. Amen?
Amen.
Ugly is the opposite of lovely. And that's what you're looking at when you see the media. When you look at the things that the media is spewing out. This is Satan's mouth. There can't be anything else. Then what else?
Whatsoever things are of good report.
Is that a good report to see, have you starved somebody to death? Or, huh?
No.
Is that what you want to go to the judgment bar of God and say that you agreed with starving a person to death that you can see is they're not brain dead because they're responding to their dad and to their mother and to their brother and to other people. But no, the justice system says that they have to, because they lay there for so long and because she wanted to die, that nobody has any proof of that except this husband of hers. And even if that were true, it's still, the justice and loveliness of the Word of God would never approve of such ugliness. Because I don't care if you tell me I want you to put me to death because I'm so sick here. I said I can't do that because that would be first degree murder. It'd be a planned murder. And so I have to pray for you, and you have to agree. We have to both agree together. Now, I'll be glad to agree with you. When somebody comes to me and wants me to pray for them, then I say, okay, I'll agree with you. Do you believe that Jesus is the healer? that by his stripes you were healed. Yes, okay, well then I'm going to agree with you that you're healed. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's what it's all about, is to agree with the Lord. And starving someone to death, or dehydrating somebody to death, or taking part in any part in putting someone to death, even if they want to, and not praying for them and agreeing with them that God is, that Jesus is the healer. Amen?
Amen.
And it's just as easy for you to be healed as it is for you to be saved. All you have to do is just say, yes, Lord, and you're saved. It's just as easy for you to not tell a lie and as it would be to do anything, to believe on the Lord. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not going to lie. You're going to confess. And if you don't, and if you lie and you twist things, then you are agreeing with Satan. Because the Lord says, no, don't do that. He's pure and lovely and just. That's justice. Now, if you're a liar, and you can just say, oh, no, I never did. You don't fool anybody, because it's just a proven thing that what you're lying about is false. What you're doing is insulting everybody's intelligence, and you're insulting God. Okay, and next?
If there be any virtue.
If there be any virtue. Is that virtuous to lie?
No.
To steal?
No.
To commit adultery?
No.
Fornication?
No.
To be a lesbian?
No.
To be a homosexual?
No.
To murder somebody?
No.
To little babies, to abort them?
No.
And to make skin cream out of their little bodies?
No.
Is this lovely and pure?
No.
And holy and clean?
No.
And the truth?
No.
No. Be the is this virtuous?
No.
No. See, the people have taken on, even in the churches, the people have taken on the spirit of Satan. And then what?
If there be any virtue and if there be any praise,
Is this praiseworthy to lie?
No.
Well, then why should God let a liar into the kingdom of God? Or people that say, maybe I did do it, but I don't remember. They're liars. And you're going to see these kind of people, their bodies are going to start disintegrating right before your eyes. They're going to catch every kind of horrible disease. In fact, some of them probably already have them. And they're such a liar that they wouldn't even tell you. Virtuous. And what was the last one?
If there be any praise.
Yeah. These people are not praiseworthy that would starve or dehydrate somebody to death. Or there's no praise to you if you say, I don't believe God to heal me. I just want somebody to put me to death. Because I want to get out of this world where there's no more suffering. Well, for a Christian, when you die, it doesn't hurt to die. Because it's just your spirit leaving your body. What hurts is the suffering that people go through because they don't ask true, spirit-filled Christians to pray for them. That's what hurts, is the suffering and sickness and so on. And this is caused primarily because there is something that is not virtuous in them. Something in them that's not lovely, but ugly. Something that is not pure in them. Or things that are something in them that is not holy. And so they suffer. And they wonder and they try and they run to doctors and try to get rid of whatever it is that's wrong with them. And it never goes away. And then the Bible says that after we die, if there's sin on our soul, that death does hurt. It says, and if you are pure and clean and holy, then you will not be hurt by the second death. Amen?
Amen.
But if you are not holy, there is a second death, because your body dies and then your spirit goes into a constant state of suffering forever. Your soul, your spirit. And some people, they, you know, look very sad about this, but they don't really believe that. Because the spirit in people knows that, you know, they're going to go on forever. They're going to live forever. And so they just think that it's going to be better in the world to come. Rock Hudson, that's blatant, confessed, homosexual, says, well, I've lived a full life, and I know that God is, that I believe in God. The Bible says the devils believe, amen?
Amen.
And tremble. But he was so deceived that he thought it was going to be good for him, a homosexual, going into the king over before God for judgment. But the Bible says that these people shall not spend eternity in heaven, but in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
With Satan and all the adulterers, fornicators, and liars. There's nothing more disgusting to me than those people like that. And to God. So go ahead and finish it.
If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
The Lord tells you to what to think about. Amen?
Amen.
Can you think about these things when you're looking at these things and not paying any attention to it? Or if you're wondering what you should do, or if you're not thinking about what to pray for, think about what things? Read it real fast out of the whole scripture.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true,
think about it.
Whatsoever things are honest,
just think about that.
Whatsoever things are just,
just think about that.
Whatsoever things are pure,
just think about that.
Whatsoever things are lovely,
just think about that.
Whatsoever things are of good report,
just think about those things.
If there be any virtue and if there be any praise,
just think about those things.
Think on these things.
Think on these things. That, is that just a suggestion or is it a commandment?
Commandment.
Why is it a commandment? Read it. Where's the commandment?
Think on these things.
No. Start at the beginning.
Okay, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true.
Okay, this is a commandment. Think about these things. Yeah, at the end, right?
Yes.
Is that a suggestion? I hope you think about these things. Huh?
No.
I wish you would think about these things. I hope you think about these things. No, it's a commandment. Think about these things and nothing else. Amen?
Amen.
So mark that down, you know, to rehearse that verse every day. Amen?
Amen.
Because every day, we never know if that's the very day that if we're not thinking about those things and we stand before the judgment bar of God and you're thinking about something else, that you're not going to fit in to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, just like if you're doing a puzzle, a picture puzzle, and a part doesn't fit, well, then it is not fitting. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't fit into this mold right here of things to think about, you're not going to fit into the kingdom of God. There's triangles, circles, and squares. And it's very hard to get a circle into a square. Amen?
Amen?
Unless the square is much larger, and then it just doesn't fit. Or the triangle. You can't get a circle into the triangle. Amen?
Amen.
Into the Trinity.
Amen.
Or a square in there.
Amen.
You just can't do it. The Lord will not let you in if you're not thinking exclusively on these things here. Read it again.
Finally, brethren.
Finally. This is the bottom line. The final thing. Then what?
Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yes. Now, the government wants you to think the way they do. They say, well, you know, so-and-so put a law into existence here, and it was ratified by the Satanic Senate and Congress. And so, therefore, we have to think that way. No, we don't. I just got a letter from the governor of Texas trying to tell me that sort of thing, and I answered him in no uncertain terms. And while I was taping that, dictating it to Sally, Terry White, that never gets involved in taping these messages, went over without us seeing her and turned the tape machine off so it didn't get recorded. I wanted to make a track out of it. And as busy as I am now, I have to do it again. This is what happens when people stick their noses. They usurp authority. She didn't ask me if she should turn it off, or she thought she was turning it on, or do I think, is it the tape, should I check to see if the tape recorder is on? She didn't check with Sally to see if the tape recorder was on. As a matter of fact, I stated quite plainly, Sally, have you got the tape recorder on because I'm dictating? She said, yes, I do. But she was just hell-bent on turning that off, or turning it on, she thought. As though I'm so lame and idiotic that I would start dictating a message without the tape recorder being on, and that Sally, who's very well trained, would be so idiotic that she wouldn't have turned it on before she started taking dictation. No, Terry, who never gets involved in, I just can't believe, you know, that got in. It just shows that there is a spirit of Satan, no matter if you're doing a godly thing or not, and that's in the room and just got a hold of a weak person that doesn't really, is not thinking about the lovely things in the Bible, such as do not usurp authority. Now, if you don't usurp authority, well, then that's lovely. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the truth. But if you do, well, then you don't believe the truth, the Word of God. You can go around and tell people, but right there, this manifests to me that you don't. Okay? Now, I promised you that we'd be here in chapter 22 of 2 Samuel, and we're going to do that. But first, let's all agree together, okay, when we pray. I mean, in faith, believing. When you're praying, I mean, God hates it when you are not praying with faith. God hates it when you, after you hear the message, that you begin conducting yourself according to your own opinion and according to a lie, the lie that you're living. You must change. I mean, you must discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Somebody answer that phone, please, and tell them that we're recording. Okay, so let's all go up to the throne. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. It's a truth that you want us to communicate. Our prayers are as incense to you. And your voice is like the most beautiful thing in the world. The songbirds hush their singing when you speak, Lord. And when you speak, it thunders. Lord, we know what you mean what you say in your word. And this is the truth. This is the loveliness. And this is a commandment that we should think only on the things mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. That's what a Christian is supposed to be thinking about all the time, is purity, holiness, loveliness, and none of the things of the world, because you've called us to be perfect in the Spirit. And those that say that no one is perfect and we just receive the things of the world and everybody has to receive, this is totally contrary to your word, Lord, and we pray that you'll rebuke these people and reprove them and teach them not to tell lies, because you want truthfulness, honesty, and truth, trueness. I mean, your word preached and received rather than anything else, any satanic words. This you proved to us by that which happened to all of the inhabitants of the world because of the first creation of yours, Adam, the rib of him who received what Satan said. Now there has to be graveyards. Now there has to be funeral homes, people who embalm people because they believed in Satan. And there has to be people in hell because they still, after such a great testimony as this, they keep saying that your word is false instead of that it's true. And they still keep living lives as though they believe that your word is false instead of the truth, the only truth. Lord, anoint this tape. Make it the tape that you prepared for us before the foundations of the earth. Anoint chapter 22 and all the 51 verses. Anoint everything that's done on the tape. Part 10 of accepting or receiving the discipline of your word, which is the Holy Spirit. Your word is spirit. Your word is truth. Your word is our life, if we receive it. But if we receive not your word, the truthfulness of it, the honesty of it, the justness of it, the holiness of it, the purity of it, the virtue of it, well then, how could anyone expect to be in the kingdom of heaven after this short life be terminated? Lord, we ask that you open everyone's heart, their ears, their minds to receive all that you say through me, through your word. And let every word that is written in these letters, the honest and true intention of it, go sink deep in the meaningfulness of it, Lord, that this is the very meaning that you sent us into the world, is that these people receive your honesty and truthfulness and virtue and all the other things mentioned in chapter 4. Verse 8 of Philippians. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read the two letters. Okay, Jeannie, where's the first letter from?
Pasig City, Philippines. Dear Pastor Tony, may the good Lord bless your day today as you read my letter. It's my first time to write to you, Pastor, but I feel and sense the mighty cooperation of the Holy Spirit through this simple step. When I first saw your newsletter in a Christian bookstore, I thought, at last, a Filipino newsletter, because the meaning of alamo in Filipino is, quote, you know, unquote. To my surprise, it's your surname. Along the way, I read it while going home in a bus. About the sin of unbelief, I'm amazed at the straightness of your message and teaching. Unknowingly, I was reading it several times, even when I'm home already. It's like a fire inside, start to a blaze. My spirit is shouting, quote, at last the doctrine of nobody's perfect and don't look to man, but look to God teaching has ended, unquote.
Right, they're saying that that false teaching of, you know, what you just mentioned is put to an end through the teaching of the Word of God, amen?
Amen.
That no one is perfect. We better be perfect or we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And we can be by just rehearsing chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians. Amen? Amen. And read the rest of the Bible. And just keep that in mind. Get your eyes off everything that is dishonest. Amen?
Amen.
And it is not the truth. Every lie, get your mind off of it. Because your mind is contaminated by anything else other than that which the Lord commands you to think about in chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians. Okay, then what?
I write and read in my Bible your given chapter and verses about that topic. I'm sad that there are some Christians who follow that kind of reasoning. They don't know that it's possible in perfectness and holy living because of the blood of Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Right, that's it. We are perfect because the power of the Holy Spirit is living in us and through us. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes us powerful. And if we're not living according to the flesh, then in God's eyes, we're perfect. Then what?
Hallelujah. One reason why God's mighty harvest ministry exists. It's almost 2 years that I've followed God in full-time ministry, and now I'm pioneering a church, a four-month-old fellowship. I'm a former resident pastor of an independent church who left because of God's conviction.
Because it was a lie. Because of you were not hearing truth and honesty. That's good. Then what?
To be sure, I consulted 3 different counselors. All of them had one answer and reaction that strengthened my conviction to follow it. As of now, I'm discipling leaders. I need your help and prayers. Please be kind to let me be your regular subscriber of your world newsletter as a resource, and even more blessed to receive from you a copy of Dry Bones, The Messiah, and Melting Cold Hearts. Our ministry is like a woman giving birth to a child. We need people and men of God like you, Tony, who bore the spiritual principle of God's mighty harvest this end-time season. Along with my wife, we...
Which is truth and honesty, amen?
Amen.
And loveliness, and virtue, and all the things mentioned in chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians. Then what else?
Along with my wife, we include your ministry always in our prayers. I pray that you harvest always in your inheritance. God bless you in Christ Jesus, A.M., Pasig City, Philippines.
God bless you, too. I know he is, because you've put on the mind of Christ. That's the way you think, and that's the way you'll be judged in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord will say, come in, my good and faithful servant, to you. All right, then what?
The next one is from Volta Region, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is your family and your ministry? I hope fine. I'm writing from Ghana, Volta Region. I would like to say thank you. January 16, 2003, one of my friends sent me a copy of your literature to read. After reading, something came to my mind that I should go to church to worship God, the Creator. I started going to church on the spot. Since I started going to church, I take it seriously now. Pastor, I want to assure you that I repent totally, and I have taken my cross following Jesus and denied myself. I have completely changed my negative attitude to a positive one. Thank God for what you have been doing for us, changing people from their death to everlasting life.
Amen. You are what you think. If you think that you're just a belligerent, disobedient person, that's what you are. Or if you think you're getting away with something and that the Lord doesn't know everything and see everything that you're doing and even know what your intentions are, you're deceived. The Lord knows everything about you and knows everything about your mind and everything that you've received from Satan. And praise the Lord for people like this. Okay, then what?
Additionally, please, Pastor, know that it is because of you that I am saved. I like reading Bible, but I do not have one. So, Pastor, by the grace of God, please send me one holy Bible, a Bible dictionary, and the book entitled The Messiah, and literature to distribute to other people. Please have mercy upon me to send me all. Please, I am expecting you to send to me soon. May God bless you and your ministry. Amen. Thank you. I end here. Yours faithfully, A.F., Volta Region, Ghana, Africa.
We've already sent that to her or him, whoever it is. We're not divulging names because there's a lot of persecution in different parts of the world. All right. And now, Sharon, let's begin chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. It's a 51 verses, and we'll go with just a little bit of King James, then we'll go with the, just strictly with the translation, because everybody's reading out of their King James anyway. And that way we'll be able to get finished here. That would be 102 verses, and we just don't have time on this tape for that. Okay, so let's go ahead.
David's Song of Praise, King James Version, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul.
All right, now let's start with the translation. See, a lot of times people, they're hungry, they're starving, they don't have a place to live, and they repent and begin serving the Lord, and then the Lord brings a hedge, his hedge, the Holy Spirit, down around them, and the God starts blessing them. And many times people get into situations to where they have a near-death experience. Like there's a man that was jogging in the woods one day, and all of a sudden a grizzly bear ran quickly out of the thicket and grabbed him. I just heard his testimony. And he was in hospital for several months, and he said he was explaining how this the eyes of this animal was looking right down into his, and he was biting him and pulling different at his arms and legs and biting. He said, and it was just, he said, I started thinking very quickly. He says, I didn't realize that I was going to have to prepare for death this quickly. But and he went on and on and on with his all the experiences that it was when he was feeling the claws of this bear. Bears are extremely strong. I know that because I owned one time, and I was standing too close to the cage one day, and I was had my back to the bear, and he reached out and hit me on this one. I was standing directly in front of him, and he hit me on one shoulder, and it felt just like my heart stayed in one place and my body went the other place, just one swat. And I thought that it dislodged my heart and lungs. I mean, that's how powerful they are. And this was not a really big bear. It was it wasn't small either. When he stands up, he stood up about as high, as tall as myself. But this thing was mauling him and beating him and ripping at him with his claws. The bear I had, it was already declawed and defanged. When he was eating cantaloupe or something like that, he had to gum it. Because in California, they make the bears or whatever like that, they make the fangs taken out of them and the before you'd be able to have them in a residential area. And they're, even without the claws and fangs, they're so capable of killing you. And it's just, you know, children read stories about little friendly bears and things like that. You as parents should warn them that these bears are not always friendly. And a lot of times they'll pretend like they're dead and they play possum. And when you get close up to them, they'll just rear up and kill you. But anyway, this man was praising and thanking the Lord so much because he said, I just knew I was going to die. And I started thinking about my wife and my kids, and their faces came real clear before me. And I said, I just am so thankful to God that I'm still alive. And he, for sport, he likes to jog, and it showed him jogging again. And that's how he got into it in the first place, that he was jogging through the woods one day. All right, so let's continue. But be thankful, and this is David being thankful, and so he did he wrote a whole psalm, a song, to just praise and thank God for delivering him from death. Amen?
Amen.
Whether it comes in the form of Saul or a bear or an automobile accident. We were in an automobile accident out here one day, and I thank and praise the Lord that none of us were killed. Amen?
Amen.
Jeannie here was flying out to the side door. The door was ripped off. It's one of those sliding doors. And I've got real bad eyes, but I was looking over and back to check on my boys and on one of the sisters that was pregnant. And Jeannie was flying out the door, and I grabbed onto her arm and pulled her back into the car, because the car was going around and round in circles, and the tires would have rolled right over the top of her. She'd be dead now. But as it is, she was the one that read the letters to you today, and she's over here manning the tape machine. Okay? So be thankful, because there isn't a day that goes by that we couldn't be, if you're not right with the Lord, especially that the Lord didn't allow you to go out to eternity with sin on your soul, because you'd never be able to get out of hell in the lake of fire. You'd be suffering and be tortured forever. Okay, so read that again, and then let's continue on.
And David spake unto the Lord.
No, from the...
Okay. David's song of praise. David sang this song to the Lord after the Lord had rescued him from all his enemies and from Saul.
Yeah, from his enemies that wanted to kill him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 2. These are the words he sang. Quote, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior." Verse 3. "My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the strength of my salvation, and my stronghold, my high tower, my Savior, the one who saves me from violence."
And death. Amen?
Amen.
But even though his body would be dead, he'd still be in the kingdom of heaven. But you mustn't wish death upon yourself. You must just ask the Lord for deliverance. Amen? So that you can continue on doing his work, or letting him do his work in and through you. Okay, then what else?
Verse 4, "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, for he saves me from my enemies." Verse 5, "The waves of death surrounded me, the floods of destruction swept over me." Verse 6, "The grave..."
Just like that bear did that man, you know, was over him. He said, "That bear was over me and looking right down into my eyes, and I could see..." It's an awesome sight to see his mouth open and these huge teeth just biting you all over, and the claws ripping and tearing at you. Okay, then what?
Verse 6.
He said, "I had to prepare to die right then and there." He said, "Boy, my mind started flashing to everything. I knew I was dead. But somehow the Lord delivered him." Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
"The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death itself stared me in the face." Verse 7. "But in my distress I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I called to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry reached his ears." Verse 8. "Then the earth quaked and trembled."
See, so he didn't pray, "Oh God, let me die. Let him go ahead and kill me." He said, "I prayed for deliverance." Amen?
Amen.
And God heard him. This man stated he prayed to God, "Oh God, deliver me." Okay, and the Lord did. All right, then what? Amen. So the Lord is still on the throne. He still hears and answers prayers. Go ahead.
"The foundations of the heavens shook. They quaked because of his anger." Verse 9. "Smoke poured from his nostrils. Fierce flames leaped from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him." Verse 10. "He opened the heavens and came down. Dark storm clouds were beneath his feet." Verse 11. "Mounted on a mighty angel, he flew, soaring on the wings of the wind." Verse 12. "He shrouded himself in darkness, veiling his approach with dense rain clouds." Verse 13. A great brightness shone before him, and bolts of lightning blazed forth." Verse 14. "The Lord thundered from heaven. The Most High gave a mighty shout." Verse 15. "He shot his arrows and scattered his enemies. His lightning flashed and they were confused." Verse 16.
Just like the bear got confused. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
"Then at the command of the Lord, at the blast of his breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen, and the foundations of the earth were laid there." Verse 17. "He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters." Verse 18. "He delivered me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me." Verse 19, they attacked me at a moment when I was weakest, but the Lord upheld me. Verse 20, he led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. Verse 21, the Lord rewarded me for doing right. He compensated me because of my innocence. Verse 22, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God.
Right. Only if you keep the ways of the Lord can you have confidence in knowing that the Lord is hearing you and answering you. If there is sin on your soul, forget it. Okay? You have to confess and repent. Because if there's any sin on your soul, you don't have the boldness to even pray to God. You know it yourself. Okay? But he says, because I've kept your commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Read that again.
For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God to follow
evil. I always think of pure things, honest things, truth, and that's it. And virtue and justice. David was a very just person. Amen? Very just. Okay? And honest. And he spoke truth. Okay, because of all these things, God delivered him. But God is not going to deliver you. When a sickness hits you, if you've got sin on your soul, and you're not thinking of purity and honesty and truthfulness and virtue, okay, and all the things mentioned in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 8, you might as well not even pray. But can't we pray that God should forgive us? Yes, if you repent. Amen?
Amen?
Why should God forgive somebody that doesn't repent? John the Baptist says, when the Pharisees wanted to get baptized, he says, I'm not going to baptize you unless I not only see you repent, but not until I see you actually doing the things that God says for you to do. And you may, to people, make people think that you're really doing the will of God. But God sees through all that, amen?
Amen.
If he still sees a corrupt heart, a corrupt mind, a corrupt spirit, he sees through it. He says, you doubt God's ability to know. He knows everything, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 23, for all his laws are constantly before me. I have never abandoned his principles. Verse 24, I am blameless before God. I have kept myself from sin. Verse 25, the Lord rewarded me for doing right.
See, he kept himself from sin. And then what? The Lord rewarded him?
For doing right.
Yeah, he delivered him. Amen?
Amen.
That's the reward for doing right. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Then what?
The Lord rewarded me for doing right because of my innocence in his sight.
Right, but if you're guilty, right there it says, because I am not guilty, but if you are guilty, that's the same thing as saying, but if you are guilty, you're not going to be delivered. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, David never got killed in battle. He died in his bed. Amen?
Amen.
And everybody was after him. Saul and the whole army of Saul. All right? Then what else?
Verse 26. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. Verse 27. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the wicked, you show yourself hostile.
Oh, right there. It shows that this is the discipline of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord shows a negative reaction to the impure. Amen?
Amen.
Negative. And that's why we're doing these different messages on receiving or accepting the discipline of the Holy Spirit. If you're doing something wrong, God gets negative towards you. And he'll actually, even if you just have made up your mind, after dealing with you over and over again, you still remain the same. And you still have not confessed or repented. And you're still corrupt. He'll annihilate you. He'll kill you. Or he'll let you be killed. He'll take the hedge completely away from you, and you're on your own. Let Satan have at you. Then what else?
Verse 28. You rescue those who are humble, but your eyes are on the proud to humiliate them. Verse 29. O Lord, you are my light. Yes, Lord, you light up my darkness. Verse 30. In your strength I can crush an army. With my God I can scale any wall. Verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection.
Oh, yeah, if you're innocent. Then what?
Verse 32. For who is God except the Lord?
See, now, if you're seeking the Lord for deliverance and protection, then you are doing everything that he says. You're not lying anymore. You're not deceiving. Your mind is not on corruption. It's on purity. You're honest. Amen. And you believe the truth. Read that line again.
As for God, his way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection.
Yeah, and if you're looking to him for protection, then you are true and honest and pure and lovely and just. Amen?
Amen.
Truthful. Okay, but if you're not looking for his protection, you just see the way you want to be. You don't want to serve him. You want to do what you want to do. Yourself. Your flesh. And the Lord is hostile towards you and will... His hostility, that's an understatement as to what he does to the hostile, and when he's hostile against you. Then what else?
For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? Verse 33. God is my strong fortress. He has made my way safe. Verse 34. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, leading me safely along the mountain heights.
Everybody is righteous in their own eyes. You know, you just can't hardly find anybody that isn't righteous in their own eyes. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone just thinks they're perfect. And yet, God wipes them out. Okay, then what?
Verse 35. He prepares me for battle. He strengthens me to draw a bow of bronze. Verse 36. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your help has made me great. Verse 37. You have made a wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping. Verse 38. I chased my enemies and destroyed them. I did not stop until they were conquered. Verse 39. I consumed them. I struck them down so they could not get up. They fell beneath my feet. Verse 40. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. Verse 41. You made them turn and run. I have destroyed all who hated me. Verse 42.
See, I can say the same thing, that the Lord, I've seen one person after the other drop dead, and I hear, get the news of it. This David Kelser, that really was a blessing to the church when we first started, just got word yesterday, he left years ago, that he's dying of cancer now. And a couple of the other backsliders called wanting us to pray for him. Well, what good is it to pray for a person if they have decided not to serve the Lord? You know what God's going to do to them. I mean, that's just crazy. Unless you just pray, oh God, if they're willing to receive you, let them receive you, and then repent so that they can be healed. Amen?
Amen.
But they're not asking the right thing. They just say, pray for them. I always ask, for what? What should I pray for him for? Amen? He's a backslider. He's gone. He's not asking, can I come back to serve the Lord or anything like that. It's just pray for him. Okay, then what else?
They called for help, but no one came to rescue them. They cried to the Lord, but he refused to answer them.
Right, see, God states in his word that people that have just made a decision to not serve him and to just keep staying corrupt, and not confess, because you must first confess before you get right with the Lord. And then you repent. That's how you repent, is you confess. Without confession, there's no repentance. Amen?
Amen.
He says, only acknowledge. Amen?
Amen.
But no, some people are too proud, too stubborn, too self, too flesh, too opinionated, their own opinions, and too many of their own ideas, and they just tread underfoot the blood of Jesus and the Word of God. And so what do you think God's going to do to them? He's going to wipe them out. Okay, then what else?
Verse 43, I ground them as fine as the dust of the earth.
See, right there, he grinds them like the dust of the earth. And God empowered him to do that. But here, today, we don't do such a thing. We just preach the Word to them, and the Word itself grinds them down. They get so upset, and they begin fearing. In their heart, they say, we know we're not going to repent. And you'd always see fear on their faces, except when they're faking it. But when they hear the Word, you see fear all over their face. But not with them that don't believe the Word of God. They just smile like it's a comic book or a joke. Then what else?
I swept them into the gutter like dirt. Verse 44, you gave me victory over my accusers. You preserved me as the ruler over nations. People I don't even know now serve me. Verse 45, foreigners cringe before me. As soon as they hear of me, they submit. Verse 46, they all lose their courage and come trembling from their strongholds. Verse 47, the Lord lives! Blessed be my rock! May God, the rock of my salvation, be extolled! Verse 48, he is the God who pays back those who harm me. He subdues the nations under me and rescues me from my enemies. Verse 49, you hold me safe beyond the reach of my enemies. You save me from violent opponents.
Yeah, a lot of people become my enemies because I don't have enough time to thank them and to give them some praise for the good job that they're doing. And then they get really uptight because, you know, it's like if somebody cooks a big meal and, you know, the wrath of God will come down on you if you don't say, that was delicious, or, oh, that's fantastic. Or if they do a good job typing, or if they, you know, are typesetting and doing such a good job there and putting together a brochure like we put out all the time, like Bert does. He does a fantastic job, but I don't have all the time in the world to just go and tell him, you're doing a fantastic job. You're such a blessing to the church. I'm saying it openly now, and hopefully this will last him, you know, for quite a while, because I get so busy. I don't have time to compliment people of the great job they're doing. I complimented Ben Edwards today for the great job that he's doing in repairing all the different places. And the drivers that, you know, I just don't have time to thank all of them, because without them, it would really be bad. And Bob and all the crew over there in New York, and the people in Los Angeles, and the people all over the world that are getting the gospel out. I just don't have time to say you people are doing a fantastic job. And another thing too is one thing that you have to remember in a case like that, if people don't compliment you or you know, say thanks all the time, that shouldn't bother you, really, because it doesn't, you know, to me, I get a lot of that, but you have to worry about getting puffed up if you do. But if you're doing everything as unto the Lord, then, you know, you're not going to be noticed for all the good things you do, okay? So just do it as unto the Lord, and knowing the Word of God that He knows everything. He even knows the number of the hairs on your head, amen? And He knows even when two sparrows fall or one sparrow falls. And He knows all the feathers and the pin feathers on every one. Amen?
Amen.
And so He knows what you're doing, and you're going to be rewarded for it. But, you know, I know the good works that you school teachers are doing and all the people in the church, and even the people that take care of the grounds, and the carpenters, the electricians, and all these people. It's just it's like we're all like a team. It's like one body of people doing a great job. And those of you that are distributing literature all over the place, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I think you're doing a fantastic job. But please don't get it in for me, because I just don't have the time all the time to thank you and all that. And the people that do typing and the people that do the office work and pay the bills, like Sally. I mean, you know, I just want to thank them and openly say, you know, that you're doing a fantastic job. They do the banking and all that. Just over and over, you know, I thank and praise the Lord for every one of you. But I don't have time all the time to say it, so, you know, do it as unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then your little hearts will not be offended. You won't get upset with me, because know that in my heart I'm always thanking and praising the Lord for you anyway. All right? Okay, praise the Lord. Even those of you that clean my glasses off, you know, from time to time. I appreciate that very much, because without that, you know, I don't know how to do that. Okay, let's go.
Verse 50. For this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing joyfully to your name. Verse 51. You give great victories to your king. You show unfailing love to your anointed, to David, and all his descendants forever.
All right, praise the Lord. Excuse me, this chapter 22, the 51 verses translated. And now we have the commentary.
The Lord is our light, 22 verse 29. Light does away with darkness, or dispels darkness.
Right, because in this world, people don't know right from wrong, but the Bible tells us what's right and what's wrong, and so we don't need to listen to congressmen, senators that are preaching and teaching that we should starve and dehydrate people and kill them and think, try to make us think that that's a merciful and holy thing to do, because it's not. It's Satan, all right? So the Lord's light, the Word of God, and I don't have time to explain all the different scriptures that say that we are to pray for those that are weak, to support the weak, to support the feeble-minded, to pray for them, and they shall recover. So we just don't have time. There's many scriptures in that regard, hundreds of them. Okay, and then what?
David had just emerged from a dark time when he wrote that prayer that the Lord was his light.
Dark time in that he was being hunted and for the purpose of killing him. Then what?
Saul and his armies had been pursuing David in order to kill him, but David worshipped the Lord. He did not say, quote, you give me a lamp, but rather, quote, you are my light, unquote. God himself serves as our light, guiding us through the dark places of our lives. Let us praise him for his guidance, looking forward to the day when he will bring us to the city that, quote, has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of the Lord illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light, unquote. Revelation 21, verse 23. O Lord, we praise you for dispelling our darkness, for putting it out of the way with your perfect light. When we feel alone and fearful, overwhelmed by the spiritual darkness around us, help us to remember that you are with us, casting light on all things to keep us from falling. Amen. 22 verse 1. David was a skilled musician who played his harp for Saul, 1 Samuel 16 verse 23. He instituted the music programs in the temple, 1 Chronicles chapter 25, and wrote more of the book of Psalms than anyone else. Writing a song like this was not unusual for David. This royal hymn of thanksgiving is almost identical to Psalm 18. For another song in the Bible, you can look in the book of Exodus, chapter 15. 22 verse 3. David calls God, quote, the horn of my salvation, unquote, referring to the strength and defensive protection animals have in their horns. God has helped David overcome his enemies and rescued him from his foes. 22 verse 8. Judges 5 verse 4, Psalm 97 verse 4, Job chapter 26 verse 11. 22 verse 9. Psalm 97, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 13, 22, verse 10, Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12, Psalm 97, verse 2, 22, verse 11, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2, Psalm 104, verse 3. Abishai. Most great leaders struggle with a few followers who try too hard. For David, Abishai was that kind of follower. His fierce loyalty to David had to be kept from becoming destructive. He was too willing to leap to his leader's defense. David never put down Abishai's eager loyalty. Instead, he patiently tried to direct his powerful energy. This approach, while not completely successful, saved David's life on at least one occasion. At three other times, however, Abishai would have killed for the king if David had not stopped him. Abishai was an excellent soldier, but he was better at taking orders than giving them. When he wasn't carrying out David's orders, Abishai was usually under the command of his younger brother, Joab. The two brothers helped each other accomplish great military feats, as well as shameful acts of violence. Abishai helped Joab murder Abner and Amasa. When he was effective as a leader, he led mostly by example, but all too often he did not think before he acted. We should be challenged by Abishai's admirable qualities of fearlessness and loyalty to those who have the rule over us. But we should be warned by his tendency to act without thinking, or act without seeking instruction from those who do have the rule over them. It is not enough to be strong and effective, strong and fearless. We must also have the self-control and wisdom that God can give us. We are to follow and obey with our hearts and our minds. His strengths and accomplishments.
Yeah, not only our hearts, but also the mind of Christ that the Lord gives us from reading his word. Amen?
Amen.
And what else?
His strengths and accomplishments. One, is known as one of the heroes among David's fighting men. Two, a fearless and willing volunteer, fiercely loyal to David. And three, saved David's life. Weaknesses and mistakes. 1. Tended to act without thinking. 2. Helped Joab murder Abner and Amasa. Lessons that we can learn from his life. 1. The most effective followers combine careful thought and action and never usurp authority unless they are put in a position to where they must lean totally on the Spirit of God. 2. Blind loyalty can cause great evil. Vital statistics. 1. Occupation was a soldier. 2. Relatives. Mother was Zeruiah. Brothers were Joab and Asahel. Uncle was David. Key verses. Quote, Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30. And he swung his spear against 300 and killed them and had a name as well as the 3. He was most honored of the 30. Therefore, he became their commander. However, he did not attain to the 3. Unquote, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 18 through 19. 22, verse 43. Quote, then I pulverized them as the dust of the earth. I crushed and stamped them as the mire of the streets. Unquote. Verse 44. Quote, you have also delivered me from the contentions of my people. Unquote. Contentions of my people. God has to deliver those that are in rule from the actual contentions of the people that God has placed under them. Quote, you have kept me as head of the nations. A people whom I have not known serve me. Unquote. Verse 45. Foreigners pretend obedience to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Verse 46. Foreigners lose heart and come trembling out of their fortress. Verse 47. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and brings down people under me. Verse 49, who also brings me out from my enemies. You even lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Verse 50, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. Verse 51, he is a tower of deliverance to his king, and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. Unquote.
All right, praise the Lord. That was 2 Samuel chapter 22, 51 verses. The translation, the commentary, and now we're going to do part 10, but I'm going to do it on another tape. So until you hear taped part 10 of accepting or receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit, this is Tony Alamo, pastor, saying, meditate on all these things that you've heard on this, that the Lord has given you on this tape. Meditate on them so that you'll be like trees planted by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the water, the living water. And until then, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.